Hi, and welcome to day 4 of Potterwares podcast. Today we're going to be talking about accents, and I have with me Revolutionary Joe.
Hello.
And Greedy Dancer.
Hi.
All right. So, as far as being a listener goes, personally, I don't have any particular preference when it comes to a reader's accent, whether it's their native accent or not. I'm happy to listen to any type of accent as long as it's a podcast I want to listen to. I don't know if you guys have a similar perspective or other opinions.
No, I definitely agree that, like, I don't think, like, the accent has to follow the canon. Like, I know some people have opinions about, like, Harry Potter should only have a British accent or something. It doesn't really, like, it really doesn't bother me as long as I can actually understand what is said. Because, you know, as a, like, I'm non-native English speaker, so sometimes, like, heavy accents are kind of, you know, they need to speak a bit more slower. But other than that, like, I don't actually care. I think accents are really fun.
I have a couple opinions on it. Some of them are getting a little detailed. But, like, so, you know, if you're British and you're reading an American show and you're, like, putting so much effort into getting the accent right, you're going to lose some of the flair for the storytelling. It's going to be harder to, like, get the proper emotions down at the scene because you're so worried about getting the accent right. And, two, like, I would much rather someone be really comfortable with it, go with the flow, than try and force them into something that they're not. Just in general, it can be so fun to listen to the different accents of, like, I've never heard that accent before. Or sometimes, like, when the accent is so different from the canon, it, like, I remember once for a charity auction, I bought a podficker who I asked her to podfic a Doctor Who podfic, and it was a Donna-centric one. And the reader has this heavy, like, Texan accent. So, like, completely not Donna. And that just made it more awesome for me. Because it was like, this is so amazing. And she still sounds like Donna with a Texas accent. So, like, I think I always kind of encourage people to do what they're comfortable with. And a lot of the times that's using your natural accent rather than trying a different one.
Yeah, agreed. Something else I think is really cool about listening to anybody with an accent that's not my own just read any sort of podfic, because it makes me realize how big our fandom really is. I mean, I could be listening to someone halfway around the world. I think that's really cool.
I have this thing where, because as a podficker, I like kind of be a perfectionist on myself, and sometimes that can be hard to turn it off for other people. So I'll be listening to someone, and if they say something, especially if they have a very similar accent to me, if they say something differently than I would have said it, that can stand out to me. But if someone has a different accent from me, I'm so forgiving.
Yeah,
because
I'm
like, it's a dialect difference. We're like, they can be completely mispronouncing a word, and I'm just like, is that how they say it in Australia? Okay. So I kind of like it because I can turn that critical part of my brain off and just sit back and enjoy the podfic so much more. So sometimes I like actively seek out podfics with people whose accents are different than mine. Not necessarily related to the canon source at all, but just different from mine.
Do you guys think there is a sort of preference in, I know we've talked all about different kinds of voices and how that's really cool, but is there a sort of preference for a lot of people towards a British accent? Or is that just like, is that my Americanness? Going like, oh, I just like listening to British people. I mean, I love to listen to British accents. It's not always my go-to, but
I think there definitely is a preference in North America, especially when you're talking America and Canada, to have like this preference for British accents, because it's something that can be like objectified within our culture. Mm. But I mean, the same can be said for like a French accent, where it's like it's a romantic accent or whatever. I definitely think European accents get a lot more leeway there, especially like with the British accent, where it's a native, like it's an English speaking accent, not a English as a second language accent. So I think there can be a lot of preference given to that, where it's like, I don't know.
I don't know. I think I've had a different experience because I listen mainly in Bandung, and we don't have a lot of potfic, or we didn't have a lot when I started listening, I guess. And most of the potfickers were American, so I haven't actually heard a lot of potfic, like of Bandung potfic with British accents. And it never actually occurred to me that there could be a preference for British accents, I guess, until someone I was talking to, like a Lajournal friend, was like, oh, I'd like to try potficking, but I'm American, my accent is so boring. And I was like, would that really be a reason not to do it? Like, it never actually occurred to me because I have, like, non-native complex with my accent. I was like, wow, she's actually hesitant because she has no, well, she feels she has no accent. I was like, wow, that's really interesting, I guess.
That is interesting. I've had the exact opposite experience, but that's probably because I'm in so many British fandom.
Especially, like, right now, just in media sci-fi fandom, there's a lot of British shows that, like, you know, you get the Doctor Who and the Torchwoods and just, like, Merlin's a really popular fandom. I think there are a lot of popular British fandoms right now, which is also enhancing the view that British accents are more favorable in podfic fandom. But honestly, I haven't really run across it in podfic fandom that much on a personal level. I'm not saying it's not out there, but, I mean, I'm an American Idol fandom, so it's not like people are crying out for British accents there either. Unless, I guess it could be a Simon-centric pick. I don't know. One thing that I do see happen more often is people will, I mean, I definitely have seen people complain about people reading with an accent that isn't similar to canon, and I personally hate that. I mean, I get that people have their own taste and whatever, and I'm totally okay with people following their taste. It's more, I hate the negativity that's often attached to it, like,
yeah,
people who have a different accent than the canon shouldn't read, or I don't think many people suggest that you should try and imitate the canon, because I think a lot of it, especially since most of us are amateurs, like, we're not professional actors, most of us, we're amateur hobbyists who do this because we love it, that we don't really have the training to pull off a proper accent unless we have a lot of experience with it. Like, when I did the Torchwood podcast, I was like, no way in hell am I trying to do this in anything but my Canadian accent, because even I will be weeping at how bad it is, let alone the actual British people that would recognize how horrible it is.
I agree that you should never, as a reader who is just starting, or even if you're a really seasoned podfic reader, you should never be intimidated by the fact that you are probably going to be reading for a fandom that's maybe it's British and you're American, or maybe you're British and it's American. That shouldn't stop you. It should never stop you.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we have this expectation that in written, you know, in written fic, you're going to, like, use the American vocabulary or the spelling or something to make it, like, I don't know, authentic to the canon. But you can't do that with your voice.
No.
Like, in the same way that you can remove a U from, like, your words, but you can't really, like, change your entire, like, the way you speak. And I guess that's the difference. Maybe people have the same expectation for podfic than they do with written fic, and it doesn't actually work the same way.
Well, part of the reason why I think it's easier to be picky when it comes to written fic is that you can send it off to a beta and be like, here, what did I say that's completely wrong? Yeah, Brit pick it, or like American pick it. That doesn't sound as good as Brit pick it.
No,
anyway.
But I think you can do that with podfic too, because I have sent podfic off to be, you know, quote unquote Brit picked, because it was the Merlin podfic and it was heavily ingrained in British culture. And I really needed someone to help me with pronunciation of these intensely British things that I'd never even heard of before. And that was very useful to me.
I think that's totally fair. Especially, like, I could even see if you wanted to say, you know, change the pronunciation to something that, you know, it's still in your accent, but it's a different pronunciation, like,
yeah,
tomato versus tomato type thing.
Yeah, I always say mobile instead of mobile when I'm reading in British fandoms.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you can try and be a little more picky on that, but I think that's a little more, kind of a bit more comparable to having, like, your fic Brit picked or whatever culture
picked
by. I don't like the word pick, yeah.
Betas, perhaps.
Betas, there we go. You can have like, and certainly, too, like, the rhythms of a language and the emphasis that they'll, like, depending on your accent, depending on the culture behind that accent, there can be different emphasis in different parts of the word. And I think that can be a really useful trick to go and get betaed and be like, no, you put the emphasis on the wrong part of this word or the wrong part of this sentence. Especially, like, when you're getting into some of the, like, slang or whatever, where you're just like, you read it with all the wrong emphasis. Like, I think that's something that's legitimate to go and get baited. But, and obviously if you want to try accents, I'm not saying you shouldn't try accents, but I don't think it should be necessary. And I don't think people should kill themselves trying to do it.
No, I agree. And I don't think authors should, like, I saw, what was it, one of the, you know, blanket permission lists on somewhere, and one writer was saying, British accent preferred or required or something. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I came across that a couple. There's Fire Juggler did a call for Harry Potter authors, and in there, within that list, there was a couple, because Harry Potter is a lot more picky about Brit picking than the other British fans that I've been in. Mm. And there were authors there going, like, no, really, I just want a British person reading it, which, you know, hurt my heart a little, but.
Yeah.
It wasn't my place to get involved.
Well, as a non-native, that would seriously limit my possibilities. Well, unless, like, I don't know, you're picking or shipping all the French womanizers in all the different films together.
Oh, God.
Which is actually interesting. I might try and launch that fandom.
That's really interesting to me, though, that there are authors out there who are so adamant about having the reader be in the same fandom, I guess.
People in fandoms where there's so much potfic that they can afford to be choosy.
Not that Harry Potter has a ton of amounts, though. I don't think it's necessarily a volume thing, but just because that fandom can be so harsh on its authors to do everything very British, that I think it carries over, where they're just being told that if it's not completely true to the canon, it's not good enough. I don't know.
You know, whatever the atmosphere, I think it's really, like, kind of a shame that you would be discouraging people from doing it. I don't know. Maybe they have so much popsic that they're like, well, we can choose which readers we have. But, like, I don't know. The experience I've had with Bandom, for example, is really, like, you know, if you want to do popsic, awesome, do it, because there's not a lot. And anyone is totally welcome to try the hand. As long as I said, like, as long as you can understand what they're saying.
I think that's the general feeling in podfic fandom, certainly on the producer side, where the people that are out there actively producing and, like, encouraging for more to be produced. I think that's the general general consensus of, like, yay, if you want to do it, let us help you. One thing that I did want to comment on, you said a couple times, Greedy Dancer, that it's, so long as it's an accent, you can understand. And I kind of wanted to, like, just draw a little bit of attention to that, because, and I'm totally paraphrasing, I think it was V who said this. I'm not positive. I tried looking for the quote and didn't find it right away. But there was a meta conversation about accents, and she brought up that, you know, accents, what is an intelligible accent? It's mm-hmm. always going to depend on the listener.
Oh, yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I lived in China for 8 months. So someone has to have, like, a pretty strong Chinese accent. In fact, they would have to be missing tons of words for me to not be able to understand it. Whereas, like, looking at the people in my real life around me, I know that there's a lot of people that really struggle to understand a Chinese accent. And, like, conversely, I live in a bilingual city. I understand French accents really well. Mm-hmm. A lot of Americans are going to understand Spanish accents better, especially depending where they live. Europeans are probably even better at tons of accents because they're surrounded by so many.
Yeah.
Because I'll sometimes hear people complain, like, oh, I can't understand this person. And so I just like to remind people that just because you personally don't find it easy to follow doesn't mean that everyone's going to feel that way.
Oh, no, of course. Like, that's, I mean, yeah, I should have perhaps like phrase it differently. What I want to say was like, yeah, on a personal level, like there are, obviously there are some accents that for anyone are easier to understand than others. And I think like if you've reached a certain level of understanding, you can probably make out all accents, but then like it depends on the rhythm. And that's really what's, what becomes really important for me is like, I can enjoy all accents as long as like it's not going too fast. And that's like really the only qualifying point, I guess, is that, you know, if someone has a heavier accent, I guess, like whether it be American or British or non-native or whatever, Kiwi or whatever, as long as like they're not talking really, really, really fast, then I can like my brain needs the time to kind of compute what's going on. And I totally understand that this is like, it totally depends on, you know, your education and where you come from and all kinds of things. But like, it's not about the accent, I guess. It's about the pacing more.
And the diction and just speaking clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I brought that up. I wasn't specifically trying to pick on you.
Well, we've already talked for a bit about the listener side of things. Maybe it's time since we already sort of delved into it already, talk about things from the reader's side, about adopting a non-native accent and what you can do to make that good or...
Yeah. I mean, I still kind of stick with my first, what I was saying earlier about you should do what you're comfortable with and don't feel pressured into doing an accent. And... But I'm also of the opinion that it's awesome to be experimental. So if you want to try an accent, I also think that's awesome.
A good, if you want to be experimental, do it, mate, and start with something short, perhaps. Run it by, like, everyone in your close circle who will listen to it and have them, and encourage them to be particularly honest with you about it. And if, once you feel comfortable and confident in doing it, then, you know, release it out to the world.
I'd also suggest researching it, too. Like, don't just be like, I know how to do a British accent, and then just try it. I mean, some people can probably pull it off. A lot of people think they can pull off accents. And especially if you're doing something for a prolonged period of time. I know for me, like, every time I try an accent for a prolonged period of time, it generally starts sounding like a bad French accent by the end. Unless it's a French accent that it just sounds dumb, like, I don't know, I'm bad at them. But, I mean, I had one of my roommates who knows how much I adore podpicking. She got me a book called Accents, A Manual for Actors that I've been very, very slowly working my way through to try and, like, just learn some of the actual, like, instead of just, like, trying to learn by listening, I can learn by learning the theory behind it. But there's also like a ton of, especially YouTube these days, you can just jump on YouTube and there will be people and tutorials and stuff that can help. And like, I don't know if as many people are as anal as me, but I know there's been this one idea in the back of my mind, like so many podcast ideas that I never do. But like, it's a Stargate Atlantis story that highly features Carson. And I was kind of like, I could maybe pull up a Carson accent, but if I can't, I don't really want to make people listen to my bad attempted Scottish accent. So I actually have the parts that I've recorded twice, like once in my normal accent and once with an attempted accent. But maybe that's more work than most people want to do.
Well, I don't know. Maybe with like with effects where, you know, some pop figures make, I guess, like, not everybody likes them. They can be distracting. In a way, like, isn't an accent, like, if you're trying to do an accent that is not your own, like, to fit one character, it, like, I guess it could enter the category of sound effects in a way. So, like, maybe if one way that is not, like, the one with less work involved, but, like, would be to make two versions and warn that you have one where you attempted the accent and the other one that is just your natural accent and people can just pick. But that's a lot of work.
I know especially with when it comes to accents, there's going to be a level of accent that will work for a lot of people but won't work for someone with that's natively that accent or very familiar with that accent. So, like, one of my roommates, when she was doing research of how to get me this book and just about accents in general, she found this video on YouTube where someone did like 50 accents in 5 minutes or something.
I saw something like that.
Yeah, and she went through it, and like my roommate was laughing her butt off at the comments because everything was like, oh my god, you did those accents so well, except for this one, because I speak that accent, that's not what I sound like. And
Everyone,
the accent kept changing, that everything was so good except for that one, and that one kept changing depending on who the commenter was. But so there's a lot of people like that don't have that accent or aren't as familiar with that accent, where your attempt at it will be good enough. And then there's also going to be the people that like that is their accent, and they're like, I don't speak like that.
Yeah.
So doing two versions, especially depending on the accent, could probably be a good thing. Like, I think there's a lot of British podpickers and there's a lot of American podpickers. So if you're going to attempt one of those accents, it might be safer to provide the two versions. If you're trying like some really rare accent, like I can't even think of something super rare, but like that most people will never have encountered, then you could probably be okay with maybe just putting the one out there, because there's not as many people that are going to be able to recognize how wrong you're doing it.
I guess it's like, you know, when you have the token, I'm going to say French, but whatever non-American or British character in the movie that's wearing the stereotypical costume and like speaking in that really stupid accent that is actually not sounding anything like real people from wherever he's supposed to be. You can attempt like an accent that will be like a parody or a stereotype that's going to indicate like this is supposed to be German or French or Spanish or Italian or whatever, but it's not actually like a genuine accent. It's just like a sign that says this is supposed to be this, and it's going to be recognized by everyone.
And that can be especially hard, like sometimes too, depending on the characters that you're given to deal with. So like, you know, my first fandom and like my first, no, sorry, not my first fandom, my first Podfic fandom was Stargate Atlantis, which is supposed to be an international expedition. And there were non-American accented characters on the show. All two of them, yes. But those two characters were brought up a lot, like especially Zelenka.
True.
And so, and because their accent is a contrast to everyone else, especially for Zelenka, sometimes in fic, people would write in, they would try and write the accent into the words that the character was speaking. So it can sometimes be hard to, like, I can't imagine trying to read Hagrid as someone who's not familiar with that accent at all, the way that J.K. Rowling wrote it in the book. Like, I would just butcher that. And sometimes that was what Stargate Atlantis pod figures had to deal with, and if they're not good at it, like, what can you do?
Because there are ways of getting around that, even if you can't adapt the full accent of the character that you're reading for. I mean, you can still speak with the same cadence in your voice. You can still, you know, pace your sentences the same way that that character or actor does. I think there are ways to make that voice identifiable without going full out accent.
And I'm not trying to say against that. I'm trying to point out the examples where they write the accent into the words. So you're not getting fully written words. You're getting like words that have, like I can't even think of the proper word to do this. When you, like, when you're not writing out the word, you're writing out how.
Oh, I know exactly what
phonetically.
You mean. Now.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're given a phonetically spelt out accent as a podficker, like, how do you get
around what are you going to do?
You might be sort of obligated into it. It depends on how and if you want to, you know, modify the text as a reader.
That was kind of what I was getting to with the example from Hagrid, because J.K. Rowling would sometimes write his accent really strongly into the words he would say.
So in stories where there are characters with different accents, is it best to use one accent consistently if you are going to do one? Or is it better to take on multiple accents for each character's type of speech? Because obviously there are international casts out there.
God, for my personal level of experience and knowing my abilities, I would never try multiple accents.
Yeah.
Just out of obligation. Possibly as an experiment, possibly if I put a ton of work into it and if I was comfortable with it, but.
Yeah, but like, back to the idea of like switching between accents in a fic, I guess, well, as we were saying, like attempting an accent is hard enough and maintaining the same one across a long period of time and like you're going to stop and start and start again and like maybe do reshoots and stuff like that. So keeping your accent accents in that case consistent would be like probably a nightmare. But I just had the thought that maybe you could try like recording the whole fic in or like as many times as there are accents like consistently through and then edit them all together.
I know that, see, when the Carson one that I was attempting, I was recording it all in my Canadian accent, and then I was planning on going back and all of this Carson speech, I was just going to sit down and record all of that in one go.
Yeah.
So that I could try and keep my accent as consistent as possible.
But then you'd need, like, because that's what I was thinking originally, that you could do, like, just separate the sentences that need to be done in each accent and record them separately. But if you've got, like, you know, dialogue or whatever, then it's not going to work because you're not going to read them. Like, it's not going to answer.
Well, I probably wouldn't redo the entire. I might redo, a conversation.
Yeah.
But, like, I probably wouldn't redo the entire. Especially that story is a really long one. It was a really ambitious one to try and do accents on, which is why I started with my own accent first. But, I mean, it would be an experiment regardless on my level. Other people, like, you know, there are some people, and I kind of get the impression that Brits are better at this than, of the people that I notice that are really good at doing tons of accents, Brits tend to be the highest one, just because I think they have so many accents in close proximity that, like, you get someone like Feige, who can do tons of different accents. They're all
distinct in each of them. But I think the opposite goes, you can say that of American podfickers, too. It's just that we aren't doing necessarily, you know, different kinds of British accents. We're doing Southern accents or Jersey accents or, you know, Pacific Northwest accents.
I haven't come across it that much in American. And it doesn't help that American media and American TV tries to standardize the accents so much that they take accents out of shows. Like, you know, you'll get everyone has, like, the typical American accent.
Hmm.
So I haven't seen very many Americans attempting various American accents. But that could just be a reflection of what I've listened to.
Yeah, it could be the fandoms that are out there. Like, I have a feeling if there was a lot more podfic for something like True Blood, we'd see that turn up more often.
Probably.
That'd be interesting.
Well, other ways around dealing with a fandom that may not be in your native accent is collaboration. You can always bring in other readers or make it more of a, well, not necessarily a radio play type of reading, but multiple voices.
That can be really great when you have, like, shifting points of view, too. Like, I know that's my favorite way to do it.
I think a really cool example of that is Lunate 8 and Feige did a recording of Paper Chase, which is a Sherlock and White Collar crossover by Sam Storyteller. And Faye obviously read the parts that were Sherlock-based, and Lunate took over the White Collar stuff. And it worked out really well, actually. I know she... Well, I don't want to speak for her, but I know she was saying she had some difficulty with the sequel, trying to figure out how or if that would work, because it was not balanced anymore. It was Paper Chase is about 50% Sherlock, 50% White Collar, as far as the readings went, and the later chapters were less balanced. So there's that to take into consideration, but the same, I think it was a really good experiment, and it turned out really well.
And I don't think for that type of thing it necessarily has to be balanced. I know the first collaborative one I did was In From the Cold. And it was a 5.5-hour podfic, and at least 3 to 3.5 hours of that was me. No, I think about 3 hours of it was me. 2 hours of it was diurnally one of the readers. And then, like, Cronus 999 only had, like, 30 minutes worth of it. And it work out really well, especially for our schedule. But I think if you, especially if it's unbalanced and you just need a voice for a smaller part, it could be easier to try and talk other pod figures into it and be like, come help me with this, I'll do most of the work. Might be harder to be like, here, come do this with me, you do most of the work.
Yeah.
Cool if there is a place where people could go to and be like, help me with accents. Or even just be like, kit, like the Brit picking and other cultural picking.
Like if you want to experiment and you're not, you maybe don't have a lot of close friends who know you do potfic or whatever, it would be nice if there is a community of some kind where people could go and just go and say, hey, I'm trying this experiment. Does somebody with this native accent or who's really familiar with this accent want to help me out?
Yeah. And I think right now, as the way Podfic fandom is, you could probably get a lot of hits if you just hit up, like, Amplificathon or Podfic Tips or something.
Yeah.
We're pretty diverse and we're generally willing to help out. But, I mean, I know I was contemplating, although I totally ran out of time, that for today, my plan was to record a fic in French to put my, like, English accent out there. And my plan was, like, to lure one of my bilingual friends to, like, sit beside me and correct me when I fuck up. So that could be really helpful if you have an accented friend. You can just, like, sit in on your recording and be like, no, that's not how you say that.
Sit here with a ruler and just smack you every time. No! Wrong, start over. Sounds really intimidating.
Like, I was thinking, I also had, like, plans for this, or today, I guess, the accent day, to, like, try and maybe record something. Well, also in French, but, you know, for me it would be not as much an exercise in accent, but just, like, to, I guess, record in my normal voice. But then I didn't do it.
I will think of a really fun story. Night Tracer, I hope she finishes it on time, but she had a plan where she wanted to repod, I think it was Vandom, because I'm assuming because she's in Vandom. But she decided that she was going to try and repod something so that she could attempt an American accent. And so she chose a podfic that was read by an American. And she's like, that way I can hear how they pronounced it, and it will help me better pronounce when I attempt the American accent. So I'm really curious how that'll turn out. Hopefully she's finished it in time for today.
Yeah, I guess it would be really interesting, like, if you can listen to both and, like, see if she managed to separate, like, if you listen to something to try and get inspired by the accent, do you automatically also kind of get influenced by their cadence or, you know?
I know that's one thing she was worried about, like, she didn't want to make, like, a carbon copy, but I know I did one podfic that was from a German fandom, and it was in English, but the title was a German word. And I was like, crap, I don't know how to pronounce this. So I went and did a Google search, as podfickers do, and I found a dictionary that had a pronunciation for it. Except the word was schön.
Schön?
Yeah. But the way they pronounced it in the, like, the recording that I found was schön, and they had, like, this rising sound to it. And I don't know very much about German at all. I do, however, know that in Chinese, the tone in which you say it is super, super important. So I'm like, I don't think German's that way, but what if it is? And, like, I don't know if I change the tone of it, if that'll change the meaning or, like, what. So the entire time I read it, I was like, Xun? And, like, they repeated that word over and over again. I sounded like a douche. I don't know. It sounded really dumb. Actually, I think there was two parts of it, and one part I posted, and one part I just, like, mangled the German so bad that it's still sitting on my hard drive. So that can be a danger of just trying to look it up yourself, which is why it can be really helpful to have someone who actually, especially before you go and do all, like, the editing, if you could have someone that, like, here's my rough version. I know when I was attempting the Scottish one that, again, has never seen the light of day, I was actually, there's an audiobook that I was listening to. I would go to work all day and I'd listen to the audiobook, and it had a lot of Scottish characters in it, and so a lot of it was in a Scottish accent. And so I would just spend, like, you know, the 5 hours or so at work listening to it and immersing myself in the accent. So then when I went home to try and podfic, I had that accent in my head, so it was a bit easier to try and attempt it.
Yeah, I know when I was taking exams, like in English, one of my teachers was basically advising us to be listening to a lot of music. He wasn't talking about audiobooks or podfics, or I would probably have listened to him more. But he was like, if you listen to the accent that you want to achieve, like for half an hour, then your ear gets accustomed to it, and then it's easier for you to reproduce it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I never actually tried it, but might be interesting, like, if you want to attempt an accent, like, listen to something in that accent for a while and then try it and maybe see if it works.
Well, I think that's true. Even if you're just trying to recreate the character's cadence or what have you, if you just spend a little bit of time with the show before you sit down to record, it sometimes helps. At least for me, it does.
And I know, like, for me, that, like, I don't... Sometimes when I finish watching a British show, I will, like, for the next 10 minutes to half an hour, depending on how intense I was thinking about it, I'll, like, sit there playing with the accents. Whether or not it would fool someone who actually spoke that accent, I have no doubt I would fail, actually. But, you know, it would be fresher in my mind. I would be a little bit more aware of those patterns to try and imitate it.
Yeah, and, like, there's also, well, it's not as much about accent as it is about, well, no, because pronunciation is accent, I guess. But, like, there's a couple of websites if, like me, you're a non-native, or if you want to be, like, checking your pronunciation, if you're British, attempting an American accent, etc. Like, I find one of the sites that I use the most is something that's called How Jay Say. And it's really good for, like, pronouncing, like, American words. And I usually, because when I come across them, in my rough recording, you usually get me, like, trying a different, like, a bunch of different ways of saying the word. I'm sounding really baffled. And then I pause and, like, go and check how.
I do that a lot, too, and I'm, like, native English, where it's, like, because people have a much higher writing vocabulary than they do a speaking vocabulary.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, like, I know what that word means. I've read it so many times, but damn if I've ever heard it said out loud.
Yeah, How Jay Say is really helpful, so is Forvo. And often those sites will have, or at least Forvo has multiple recordings from people in different parts of the world, which is useful, terribly useful.
I'll have to check that out. Normally I default to like dictionary.com where you get the robotic voice reading it.
I go to Google and I type word pronounce, and usually How Jay Say or Forvo comes up first.
Shit, there's something I was going to say. Oh, one thing that I think if you are going to attempt an accent, it might be easier to try and attempt an ESL accent than a native English accent, just because often you're not going to hit an accent straight on the head of how someone would say it. It's a range. And if you're going for an English native, like a native English accent, those accents have a much smaller range in how they pronounce things, whereas an ESL accent can have a huge range because you get the people that are just starting and don't have a very tight grasp of English, all the way to the people that barely have a detectable accent. So if you're trying to put an accent in that way, it can be a little more forgivable if you're not completely consistent.
And just to clarify, ESL, by ESL you mean?
English as a second language.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I just had to Google that.
Oh, sorry. I was an ESL teacher, so I use it all the time. Sorry.
Yeah, I use it too. Because
I thought I was just dumb, so it's okay.
So you mean, like, you think it's easier to try, like, speaking as a non-native trying to speak English than the non-native or the accent itself or the language itself, right?
Well, what I'm saying is if you're going to attempt an accent, you'll probably get a better result if you try not, like, if you're imitating a non-native speaking English than a native speaking English in an accent that isn't your own. Because, like, I mean, you're French. You've probably heard a lot of French accents. Are they that similar? Like, two people with a French accent, like French accent speaking English, can have pretty wide variety or variation in how they say a single word, depending on how strong their accent is. Because it's an ESL thing, because it's a learned thing, there's going to be some words that you can pronounce perfectly, and then other words that you've just never encountered before, and you're going to carry your accent a bit stronger in it.
Yep.
So if you're someone who's attempting an accent and you're wavering, and sometimes you're speaking more, like, it's really hard to maintain it at that perfect level consistently, it's going to stand out less if you're trying an ESL accent than an English accent that isn't your own.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, if we're talking about attempting accents, Hollywood is a really, really horrible way, like a horrible example, because every time I see someone who's supposed to be French speaking what is supposed to be French in a movie, I'm like, this is not a French person. How hard would it have been to have found, like, a French-speaking extra who actually speaks French? And they never actually speak French. They're just, like, people they presumably pulled off the street and said, can you do a French accent? And they go, well, sure. But it's never, like, they never actually are or sound remotely French. The point that we can draw from that is, if you're going to do an accent, go to, like, a native, and actually a native, and not someone that you heard speak in a movie one time, or, like, internet. And the same goes, really, if you're, like, writing in a different language in your fic, like, in your written fic, just get someone who's native to beta for you. That's, it, like, I don't know, it seems to me like it should be really, really obvious, and it's not.
I think that's a lot that we covered. Do we have any final thoughts that we want to put out?
My final thought would be to just always remember that, and I know it sounds kind of corny, but everyone has an accent. Like, even if you think you don't, you totally do, like, to someone else. And being aware of it means that, for one, we can, like, celebrate it and, like, you know, celebrate diversity and whatever.
My biggest thought is always just embrace your accent. Because, yeah, as Greedy Nancer said, we all have them, even if you tend not to think you do. Everyone else does. But, you know, you have one. And so be happy with your accent. Don't try and force it to be things that you don't want it to be because you feel you have to. It's experimentation is great and wonderful, and I always encourage that. But I don't want you to try something that you're uncomfortable with because it's going to mess with your flow, and I think in the end, you're going to have a better product if you just do what you're comfortable with as opposed to what you think you should do.
Yeah, and there's always someone out there who's going to love your accent because it's different from them.
Yeah.
And, like, I've gotten, you know, as someone who does have a strong accent, I guess, lots of comments saying, oh, your accent is just adorable, and, you know, it's, I like to think that it's something that makes me, like, for some people, maybe not someone that they love to listen to, but for some people, I'm hoping that maybe the fact that I do have an accent and that it's different from theirs adds to their enjoyment of what I do.
I know, like, especially when we were talking earlier about, like, you know, preferences for certain accents, I think there's a lot of people that internally have that. Where I know for me, like, a Scottish accent can do no wrong. Like, if you come out with a Scottish accent, it's just like, oh, you could read the phone book. Because that's an accent that just works really well for me. And, like, I remember coming across one podficker that, like, I was in love with her voice. And I had only listened to her podfics. And then we got in a conversation in a community, and she was mentioning that she hated her accent. And it must bug people that she has this accent. I was like, what? No, record more. I love it so much. So, yeah, there's going to be people that will love your accent. Full stop. And there's going to be people that, like, love how the accent is different or how it works really well for the character, and just go with it. And there's not any ugly accents out there. Maybe there's some that people personally find less attractive, but, you know, there's always going to be someone that loves it too. So don't, especially from Australians for some reason, where a lot of people are like, oh, no one wants to listen to my ugly accent. No, they do. record. Love you for it.
That's a good point as a listener. If you're listening to somebody who has an accent that's different than yours and you're enjoying it, by all means, let them know. Feedback.
Yep.
Aside from that, you guys have covered pretty much everything I wanted to say in terms of closing thoughts. Don't be intimidated by your native accent. There are people out there who want to hear it, so go for it. And
don't limit yourself based on your accent.
Yeah. But if you do decide to take on an unfamiliar or non-native accent, by all means, again, experimentation, A+, awesome, go for it, but do what you're comfortable with and what you're confident with.
And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. Podfic fandom is so helpful and open. I can't imagine if you went to somebody and said, hey, could you listen to this? I just want your opinion before I release it out into the wilds of the internet. 99% of the time, I'm sure they'd be like, yeah, awesome, sure.
And that is it for the accent day. And this podcast is brought to you by Patika,
Revolutionary Joe,
and Greedy Dancer.
Thanks for listening.